Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I'm here with Josh today.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about what adaptations make humans exceptional among animals. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be looking at humans from an evolutionary perspective and a biological perspective, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's see. What does make us exceptional?
Well, I'll be getting on to that, but I've got a little bit to set up first. So I'm going to be, this is obviously centered around the theory of evolution. And I know the term theory in that is somewhat misleading because it's as much of a theory as the theory of gravity. And I think everyone accepts that we have the evidence as far as we're concerned. It is something that is factual, not to, you know, be disrespectful to some people.
As the 2010 YouTube taught us, theory doesn't mean that it's unsubstantiated.
Exactly. So obviously some of the evidence that we can just look at in the modern day is you can use the example of dog breeding. Mm-hmm. All domesticated dogs had a common kind of wolf-like ancestor that's now extinct, and we can trace the changes and the differences. So even if we look at illustrations and photographs from 100, 200 years ago, we can see the changes based on human selective breeding and how different traits can be inherited and lost depending on how they're favoured. And although in nature, it's just the environment that selects for these certain traits, in the case of domesticated animals, it's obviously the humans that are choosing. Mm-hmm. And they kind of take over that role. So that's a good example. And of course, we've got the, in the case of human beings, we've got archaeological, paleontological evidence, which has, you know, fossils of both actual Homo sapien ancestors or human beings, and also other related hominid species. And I'm going to be talking a lot about those.
But what if God put fossils in the ground 6,000 years ago?
Well, we're not going to get into that can of worms. But if you want to believe that, then so be it. But for the sake of this, I am not going to be operating under that assumption.
Well, you can say that the fossils are still there, so we can look at the fossils and say how interesting they are from the biological point of view. So,
Whatever.
Whatever. Sorry, floats your boat. I didn't mean to derail you like this. It was sneaky of me.
So, obviously, nature operates on the basis that the fittest animal in a species tends to survive. Not always, but this is a general rule.
And the fittest doesn't mean strongest, it means
the most suited to the environment.
Exactly.
And they survive to pass on their genes through to their offspring. And this is what perpetuates life. It's obviously something that is essential, prerequisite to having living things, is that the living things survive and reproduce. And when they reproduce, some genes are not replicated perfectly, which leads to mutations. And this is just something that is beyond, obviously, the organism's control. Mm-hmm. And it's just an imperfection in the gene replication process.
Is that a biological thing?
It is, yeah. I don't want to get into it too much because I'm not a geneticist. Mm-hmm. I just know enough from my study of evolutionary psychology. But the mutations are random. They're not deliberate at all. But depending on what it changes, it can either be positive or negative. Mm-hmm. For the organism. Most cases, it probably doesn't affect them at all. Mm-hmm. But this is how we have things like animals in the Arctic with white coats. You could take like a rabbit, for example. If you took some brown rabbits from, I don't know, Europe and moved them to northern Canada, perhaps that over time they would adapt and be selected to have a lighter and lighter coat because it helps them blend in and survive. And therefore, there is not necessarily an incentive, because that suggests some degree of self-awareness, but there is, what's the word? There's a selection pressure. Mm-hmm. For them to adapt to this. And this is how all of natural selection seems to work. So I'd like to have a quick look at human ancestors. And for that, we need to look at the content of Africa, which mm-hmm. I think is central to human and kind of the subspecies and all of the different branches development. And of course, hominids in general, mainly developed in Africa, but they were also on the continent of Europe and Asia as well. Although that's not necessarily going to be a huge focus. Like, it's very complicated, the movements of people, and because all of the evidence is from millions of years ago, it's very difficult to know anything for certain. There are also gaps in the fossil record, mm-hmm. which make it complicated. But
So is it not the case that humans as a species evolved from common ancestors with other apes in Africa? Or is it?
They did.
I know that that's where you're heading, probably. Mm-hmm. But you also said that it's possible that there were other kind of origin points in Europe and Asia. So were they separate, or is it?
It wasn't that they necessarily originated per se. I think all kind of human-like hominids originated in Africa, but I think they travelled out through the kind of Egypt to Saudi Arabia and then through Europe that way.
Right, but that would then be tens of thousands of years ago and not like millions, right? Because you mentioned millions, so I was kind of confused by that, because when we're talking about millions of years old mm-hmm. fossils, then it's probably going to look at Africa if there's a single point of origin.
It's not necessarily the case for all hominids. So mm-hmm. you've got fossils from, I think, millions of years ago. Obviously, I'm not an archaeologist, but I think you get them in Europe and Asia as well. So there are a species of hominid like Homo heidelbergensis, which was a fossil found in Germany, of course, Heidelberg. And then you get things like Homo florentiensis in Indonesia, and you have all the other ones that I'll get into later. And they have, although I think my understanding is that they're from Africa, they have travelled out naturally. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily indicate that it was a deliberate migration, mm-hmm. But just through their success, they've travelled out. But we'll get into why there are these successes.
And so when we're talking about the movement of like actual people mm-hmm. From Africa elsewhere to the entire world, we're not talking about these other hominids. That is movement that basically happened in the same way later with mm-hmm. with a species that became human.
They certainly shared some of the traits that we have, and that's going to be my focus mainly. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to look at the migrations per se, okay. because it's very complicated, and I don't think it's as important as looking at the adaptations, the differentiated different hominid groups and how they evolved and what time periods and what came first, because I think all of that has important implications for us, and there are lots we can actually learn about that. So okay. back to the map of Africa here. You can see this is a map of rainfall. This is a modern map. This isn't from any time that is relevant to the early hominids' evolution. But what I'd like to draw attention to here is the Horn of Africa on the eastern side. And you can see that the rainfall, although its distance from the equator is the same as like the Democratic Republic of the Congo and places like that, where there is a lot of rainfall, mm-hmm. Like the maximum amount. You can see here that
in the Ethiopian highlands.
Yeah, it's around this area here. You can see that there's kind of comparable rainfall to places like sub-Saharan Africa. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot drier relative to its position from the equator, and that is for a very specific reason. So around about the same time that the Himalayan mountains formed, there was a rift between Africa's tectonic plates, which caused mountains to form along that kind of area, which prevented any moisture from crossing over from the center of Africa mm-hmm. into the Horn of Africa, which resulted in that part of Africa drying out. And it was once very forested, as the center of Africa was, but as the environment changed, it became less and less forested and far more kind of grassland oriented. So when you think of Africa, you think of kind of the grasslands where you might have the lions and the wildebeest, that sort of thing. Yep. And that's what you should be kind of conjuring up in your mind, where there are a couple of trees dotted around, but it's mainly grasslands. And this is the environmental change, which people presume is the incentive, or that's perhaps not the best word, the environmental pressure to provide the impetus for human beings to evolve later on down the line.
Okay.
So our kind of hominid ancestors originally were arboreal, which meant that they lived in trees and relied on their kind of speed in the trees to avoid predators and things like that. But as the trees disappeared, obviously their ability to avoid predators and to survive was impeded, and therefore to survive they had to change to this new environment. So I think when it first changed, human beings relied on just large groups to survive, and I think that the presence of human beings being a social animal persisted throughout, and I think that that was something that we very much relied on to begin with. But to move on to the actual hominid family tree, I think it's important to look at just how many relatives we truly have. I think people forget, because we are the only kind of humanoid bipedal species, that we are the only kind of human to ever exist. But as you can see here, you have the more primitive kind of Australopithecines there, who are our ancestors. This is where you kind of get people walking upright and things like that. You go earlier and they're still somewhat ape-like. You might not even recognize them as being humanoid. They might have more in common with a tree-dwelling ape. But
see the skull of the Ardipithecus ramidus that looks almost like him, like a monkey skull, right?
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.